Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanford and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a media quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Hanford and Sidgwick to look ahead to Dynamite tonight, and a stacked show, a great match on the cards, Bryan Danielson versus Dax Harwood. Can the Elite finally get a bloody win in this best of seven series? But most importantly of all, Sidge, we hear from our world champion tonight.
Indeed, I'm really looking forward to this one. I thought last week's was tremendous. I felt the magic again. As Hamflet astutely pointed out last week, this is the first time since May where his plans, his long-term plans, haven't evaporated in front of him. So in a way, with a roster so stacked, he has an excuse to, it's gone a bit rubbish. It's like, you've got the talent. Yeah. Maybe just lose one of your jobs.
It's not one of his skills, is it? Pivoting from the plan.
Yeah.
Which, like,
he's done it before, but he didn't do a very good job this year.
It's the opposite of the Triple H thing, because it's a bad thing off the back of a good one. You've done all this long-term plan, and then one tiny thing's gone wrong, and you haven't got a pivot point like there.
But there's no longer the cloud of an injury, a suspension, the top draw on the company leaving. And the way I always put it was such a disaster brawl out, because there is not a single AEW fan who didn't love at least one of CM Punk, Kenny Omega, or the Elite.
Yes.
It was almost a division between the fandom before we realised that they hated each other, because a lot of people were like, I'm sick of the Elite and I'm glad Punk's here, because with his meaningful hold-for-hold limb selling and his matches, just brings into focus that he's made AEW better and more proper and more old school, if you like. At least one fan was deeply invested in the future of one of those four men. So that was a cloud. But that cloud isn't there. Touchwood, there's been no significant injuries. He can plan, he can book, he can build around people that he knows are going to be available for the next pay-per-view cycle. So, yeah, I'm as hyped for this one as I've been for quite some time.
Yeah, not to compare it to WWE, but like WWE, when we're talking about it with regards to Raw and SmackDown, effectively is looking to January now. And the interim, they could do some big matches on television. You could do world title matches or whatever it may be on TV. Yes, obviously the next big pay-per-view for AEW is in February, but you've obviously got Final Battle before that. I was going to ask you about this, actually, because me and Sidge had a really interesting chat on the Rampage preview, which you can still check out, What Culture Wrestling.
Still relevant.
What you get your podcast from. Where I asked Sidge about Tony Khan saying he was going to sort of reduce the amount of ROH stuff generally on AEW, because I think that has been something that people maybe have had an issue with. How do you feel about that? And, I mean, obviously that's not really going to kick in just yet, because we've got a couple of weeks before Final Battle.
Great. I feel great about it. How could you not? I'm an AEW fan. And not really a Ring of Honor one. And I was never, like, this is obviously entirely subjective, but like Ring of Honor was never really my promotion. I would just dip in and out when the product was hot or if they had a wrestler that I desperately wanted to watch.
Or if the DVDs look great.
Yeah, honestly, like the Motor City Machine Guns Speed Muscle match on Good Times, Great Memories, I think it was, I bought, because just that match was getting critical acclaim and it was the only way to access it at the time. You would have that, those like Joe Morishima, that like had these moments, everybody's got little dipping out, but Ring of Honor was never my promotion. And I've watched AEW from the beginning and I care way more about AEW than I ever did Ring of Honor. And I kind of think, I don't know. I don't think Tony Khan was being willfully disingenuous when he was suggesting people can separate Ring of Honor and AEW. I think what he was doing was that thing of saying, I can, so why can't you?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cases where he's done that. And again, I don't think this is a case of him being willfully ignorant about a problem. I think he didn't maybe identify it as much as a problem until it's been put to him in as many different ways as people can do it delicately, plus whatever he reads online, because we know he does. When it's good, it's the listening company. When it's bad, it's, well, keep being the listening company. Keep paying attention. Don't rebuff this stuff. You can choose which bits you want to listen to, but it's all there. You know, it's all there and it's all worth picking at. And the Ring of Honor criticisms have been the loudest and the longest. It's when he was discussing, the thing that really stuck out to me, I think me and Sid were talking about this over the desk the next day after the press conference, was how he was divvying up the pay-per-view schedule as if he wasn't putting on 8 pay-per-views in a year. It's like, yeah, you are now. This is what you are. You're promoting 8 pay-per-views. Mm. We've gone from the 4 prestigious Elite Tempo events to Forbidden Door, and as of right now, 3 Ring of Honor shows and maybe possibly 4. Like, don't work me, Tony. Like, you went on Dynamite and said you'd bought it. So that was the point when I knew that this was all under the same umbrella. So I think it'd be one of the best things for 2023 if a division was properly erected between the two sides.
I think so as well. Dave Meltzer, who I ordinarily agree with and I respect greatly, but he was talking on Observer Radio on Monday night / Tuesday morning, and I caught up with the audio yesterday, where he's like, he can't fathom why people don't like the ROH presence on AEW programming, because in his mind, and he's absolutely right to have this opinion, just like he said that other people are right to disagree with him, Jericho's the champion. Jericho and Claudio, if it was just an AEW TNT title match, people would be going crazy for that. So he doesn't get it. He has said that there are too many titles and they've lost meaning and all the rest of it. I think personally that we have learned, or relearned rather, a very sobering lesson in brand value and power, and how you absolutely can't taint the brand. You just can't do it. The way I've put it in the past, and I'm sorry for repeating myself, but I think this is a very good take.
And
Yeah, the mega fans will forgive me, but this is an absolutely fantastic take, right? Cast your minds back to 2016-17.
Oh, hang on. Okay,
got it. On one side of the pond, right?
It's when the Dudleys got in the content game, by the way.
This is it.
The seismic event in this space.
So you've got WCPW, right? Well-financed and all the rest of it. They had a really astute idea to do sports entertainment when every other promotion was doing wrestling against WWE. I thought it was quite smart. Anyway, my personal feelings on the promotion are irrelevant. Drew Galloway is a big star for WCPW, okay? And it's his work in that promotion, I'm sorry, not Evolve, that WWE being a little bit sort of, you know, can't have any competition. Mm-hmm. How many times have we seen that over the years? Decide, right, we want Galloway back. He's doing great work on the indie scene.
YouTube numbers weren't just for money. It was visibility.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the people didn't, like, indie wrestling companies didn't spot that. This is not a WCPW pro thing. They didn't spot that at the time, that the visibility was helping the wrestlers. They were getting seen more.
So you got Drew Galloway on this side of the pond, and he's doing great guns with WCPW, so much so that he convinces WWE, who always probably wanted to see what he could do, right, you're ready to return, you've done what we wanted you to do, basically, come back over, right? In the States, he's working Evolve, which was never that big. It was never PWG cult big. It was never ROH. We can actually make some money big and get really sort of at the forefront of the wrestling critical conversation, right? So you got Drew Galloway. You've got the Elite. You've got Kenny Omega. And you got the Young Bucks. And Kenny Omega doubles New Japan World subscriptions. He set the all-time pro wrestling gate record in, I believe, Sapporo. He fundamentally changes the stratosphere in which critical acclaim can go. You. Right? He sells out Madison Square Garden on the promise of his appearance. And as proof of that, when he is then revealed not to appear, the secondary market collapses and you can get tickets outside. We were there for like $25. Whereas the secondary market for NXT was like $250 or something. All because Kenny Omega said, I can't really do it. I'm signing with AEW. In a normal world with two real competitors with the same visibility and the same starting point and all the rest of it, you'd think that the company, that the Elite, who are bigger draws than Drew Galloway on the same indie circuit at the same time, Drew McIntyre is a bigger star and gets his segments get better ratings than anything that Omega and the Bucks do, because the brand value of WWE is at this point so powerful that it's almost, genuinely almost immaterial who appears on that show. Mm. Shotzi's segments do better than Kenny Omega's. Shotzi's segments do better than Chris Jericho's. You cannot tell me in a million years that Chris Jericho isn't a bigger star than Shotzi Blackheart. Mm. Brand value matters. And it doesn't matter what you do with ROH, right? It doesn't matter which stars you have contend for and hold the titles. Because it's ROH in name. I'm not an idiot. I know it's all Tony Khan's. It's on Dynamite and Rampage. The brand value is so sullied at this point that people automatically feel less for it, and it feels small. And Tony Khan has made a major mistake by lessening the value of his AEW brand, which is pretty massive. Distant number two at this point in WWE, but far bigger than ROH. Like, I know it's just letters, but they evidently mean everything to the consumer base.
And he's kind of having his cake and eating it, because he's jet fueling these ROH pay-per-views with his AEW wrestlers. Every single Ring of Honor pay-per-view under his purview so far has kind of been anchored by AEW presence, whether it be FTR.
FTR for the last two, Chris Jericho for this one.
He has, like, I'm not going to say like every single match, but fun. And I know that you've had to use AEW to build stories, but the characters, the headline attractions each time have been AEW-centric wrestlers. It's not just about the matches that have been built. If you need a Dalton Castle, for argument's sake, you've got to use TV time.
Yeah.
Like, to tell his story, right? If you were doing Dalton Castle versus Matt Taven, Ring of Honor guys,
yeah,
you'd have to use Dynamite or Rampage to tell that story. However, it's not that, is it? It's Chris Jericho versus, like, it's Claudio in this case, but it could have been Chris Jericho versus Matt Taven, for example. Yeah. Chris Jericho is the guy that people might tune in to draw. Like, the 30, 40,000 that buy these Ring of Honor shows? Whatever that number is.
I think
the
ceiling they've established thus far is 36,000.
Right.
I think ordinarily Chris Jericho could probably spike it higher, but apparently it's in the afternoon, which is a bad time for pay-per-view.
He's relying on
names. NXT deadline, of course, which everyone would be most looking forward to.
It's got the Creed Brothers versus...
It's got the match of the day on that card, isn't it? Yeah, so it's... we've gone the long way around here, but who really isn't saying this? Like, other than Dave Meltzer, oddly enough, who out there doesn't want the end of this? Because I think even, like, one thing I think most wrestling fans really like is strict continuity being adhered to in terms of things being consistent. It's why people hate the interim title so much. It doesn't feel right. It's in a way that you can't quite articulate, that Wikipedia records are not as neat as they should be, and rosters aren't quite as tidy as things like that. The Forbidden Door is a cool thing, and the open world of pro wrestling, and this idea that Tony Khan, as much as being the president of AEW, also wants to kind of be the steward of this new wrestling world, where you've got WWE on one channel and potentially the promise of anything else on the other side. That's a cool thing, and that's something that he has aspired to and delivered, and that's really impressive. But at the same time, it's the core, the absolute root cause should be AEW always, and that's what he's lost sight of. I think a little bit. There has been too many Rampage main events that have been for a Ring of Honor title, which you've been told to care about rather than being given any reason to. It's like all the problems are related. The multiple titles wouldn't feel half as bad if you lifted the Ring of Honor ones straight out. The repeated, so we talked about this a few weeks ago, Sidgwick's bang on about the use of too much exposition in, like, compared to any other television show in WWE versus any single other television show. My counter argument from AEW's point of view is no other TV show would introduce as many characters called and just expect it to be fine with it. Like, Adam Wilborn's family heirloom tool belt just dropped in yesterday. There's an Uncle Howdy for every argument, by the way.
It's all good with that, by the way, just to thanks for taking care of the NXT review.
I'm not saying WWE aren't guilty of that, especially since Triple H has took over, right? But generally speaking, they like you to care about this core 20, 30 guys that rotate and fight each other, and sometimes that's really dull as a result. But a lot of the time, you are just, here's a graphic, here's this person, here's a video package, here they are. They're part of it now. You've got to care about this. You've got to add two more. Kingdom of debut, Kingdom of great, but I've got to add two more wrestlers to the people I theoretically need to keep up with now, do I? No other TV show would do that. Like, Game of Thrones would, like, try and introduce as many characters as possible and then revisit them in different episodes, but they were always there from the start. It wasn't like... I keep going back to Matt Taven, but it wasn't like the Kingdom were there from day one. They just arrived when you've already got like 50 other acts. So I think this will solve that problem. It'll just solve so many issues. It will, theoretically, if Tony Khan delegates some of Ring of Honor's work to somebody else, it will free his mind up a little bit for AEW. Mm. I can't see a negative to Ring of Honor becoming its own thing.
I'm desperate for it to happen. Absolutely desperate for it to happen.
Are there Ring of Honor purists that are clinging on for the what? Who is it for?
That's what I've said. It's before they WWE did. And yes, we will get to the Dynamite. Before they WWE did, it was good for two shows and then it was an absolute abomination. The reboot of ECW was such a tremendously inspired idea because they were heading into a different direction. It still stank of cum. It wasn't PG yet. But John Cena was slowly morphing into a kid-friendly character and losing the hardcores. Vince McMahon had decided, right, it's 1995 again for some fucking reason. So here's the Spirit Squad, here's Eugene, here's no more Benoit Guerrero. They didn't get over. We need to bring it back to stupid, over-the-top characters. But then they realized, honestly, they're so savvy at some points. Hang on. We can't aggressively chase this young audience in case we drive off the marks who are going to watch whatever, right? So they decided, good idea if we launch ECW, sort of pacify these very loud, abrasive, obnoxious, Bizarro Land geeks and make money off them at the same time. It worked because there was an audience who needed something they weren't getting, so WWE, just before completely screwing it up in their own customary way.
Well, One Night Stand 1 was the perfect example of
that. Yeah.
Good. Like, they gave them something. An all-time show, yeah.
They gave them something that they wanted and that they didn't have. ROH and AEW, no one wanted ROH. It's nowhere near. They don't do anything at any point of their run that AEW didn't already do. Highly acclaimed professional wrestling with professional wrestling spirit and values and unscripted promos and a range of styles and master craftsmanship. That's all in AEW. ROH does not a thing that AEW doesn't do already. It's unnecessary. It's weird. It's buyer's remorse city.
And when Ring of Honor would flirt with sort of sports entertainment adjacent angles, the argument would be, well, yeah, but the wrestling's of a higher quality. WWE have had like an awesome roster for years. So even with the sports entertainment, you've got pretty high quality wrestling. Well,
everything's been
too
conflated and atomized and everything like that.
I think it speaks volumes that when we first found out about Tony Khan getting Ring of Honor, yes, we were excited about going, oh, that guy could work on it in AEW. That guy could work in AEW. We weren't saying that guy could work as part of a Ring of Honor thing within AEW. It was you, we'll take you to AEW, and it's going to be pretty nice to have that tape library if and when they do an AEW network or whatever they're going to call it. So I think that speaks volumes. But to return it to AEW, because it's not like they're going, well, the year's been nearly finished, clocking up for the year sort of thing. They've got winter is coming, obviously. They got New Year's smash coming up before the end of the year, of course. And after it, actually. But, yeah, winter is coming, is on the horizon. What, 3 weeks away? Yes.
I don't know. I'm kind of checked out from...
I think our review is the day of the What Culture Christmas Party, which obviously we're going to be delaying. And as I said before, if you want to send us money to, you know, thank us for that fact. I'm joking.
I don't think he is.
No, not actually. I'm going to set up a little Venmo and, you know, if you want to make a little pool for us to dip into, I wouldn't mind to dive in there. Thank you very much.
I think this is going to be a bit until that bit is suddenly one of them Kofi gimmicks. And then all of a sudden we're trying to get people to pay for our mortgages.
Anyway, winter is coming on the horizon. Ricky Stark's number one contender. But of course, tonight, for the first time, we hear from our new AEW world champion, Maxwell Jacob Friedman. What do you think he's going to have to say?
I hate previewing MJF content because it's always 100 million times better than anything I can come up with. It's weird to like, this is what the wrestler should do. Right, previews are like a weirdly flawed premise in that respect, but it's especially true in the case of MJF. If the post Full Gear press conference is any indication, right, I wonder if he's going to double down because he quoted, I was going to say paraphrased, he outright quoted the number one villain of the AEW fan base. Well, not really because he's not over enough anymore, but Jim Cornette. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
He's going to have to go full Uber heel here. He'll be very clever with it. He will, he can't say the F word on Dynamite again, but he will, I think he'll go full scorched earth on what everything AEW was up to the point that he was now the face of the promotion. It's tricky because he's kind of more over than the promotion at this point. People just absolutely adore him. But I think that I don't know if he will. I'm just trying to use precedent to inform the future of my prediction, but he went a bit Cornette in that press conference. AEW is his now. has been a consistent facet of his character, where he says he hates gymnasts. It's all about making money, receiving the least amount of punishment with which to get there. You can recall the fact that...
It's time to play the game!
How many matches has AEW worked, has MJF worked on AEW television this year?
Oof.
And pay-per-view.
And pay-per-view. Does he, we count him or he just showed up one? Thanks very much.
Punk, Wardlow, and Moxley. Is a Punk one, Punk was TV. So three pay-per-view matches plus a Punk on TV. Count out loss during the Wardlow feud, was
two.
It? Where he, the security, I cannot remember. It was the same guy lost to in the Captain Sean Dean, maybe.
Yeah.
Punk, so that one, maybe two Sean Dean matches,
yep.
Which weren't really matches. They were angles dressed up as matches, but they were matches. In the cage match profile, they were matches.
Ladder match
as the Joker BB and the thingy, Wheelie Uta.
So what have you got?
I'm landing on eight.
But you've got two Sean Dean. You've got the right amount. I don't know if you've got the right opponents. There's maybe. Eight. There is eight.
Was what was the Sean Dean Punk one at the back end of last year, perhaps, rather than this year?
I think so.
It bleeds into this year, doesn't it?
So there's one match maybe.
So he's lost two matches to Sean Dean, but one of them might have been last year. Ultimately, it's eight.
That's eight.
That could be a big part of his promo. These idiots, for your stupid, twisted pleasure, give themselves CTE.
Look at Ricky Starks, held together by tape.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Brilliant. That's it.
Tell you what.
You know what, that's another great point.
Just call me Butter, baby. I want to roll.
There was a chase U development you missed this week. That was,
oh, my God.
Fantastic. We'll tell you about it next week. Actually, we'll remind you about it.
Yes.
You obviously watched it on the plane. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say other than he's probably going to go scorched earth. Maybe it'll be an overcorrection because when he gets so wild and passionate and his delivery is almost flair in the 80s adjacent... You could call me a complete tosser, and I'd go mad for him because his cadence and delivery is so great. So he's going to struggle. But if anyone can do the thing that no one's been able to do, Cena couldn't get the fans to cheer him again. Roman Reigns couldn't get the fans to cheer him as a babyface, full stop.
Yeah.
Cody couldn't get the fans to cheer him again. If anyone can get the fans to boo him again consistently, it has to be the best heat merchant of his generation. And many others, actually.
I'm worried he's going to slag off my beloved Colts because they are in Indianapolis, I believe, tonight.
I mean, it's called
Colts. You've got a nice dynamic. I would highly suggest you watch The Road to. It's like 4 minutes, and I was like, it's a bit disappointing. But like 2.5 of those minutes are just Ricky Starks cutting a promo, and I was like, well, cool, that's great. I love the potential for the next few weeks of Ricky Starks and MJF to interact with each other. Got a bit of history, as is alluded to, on The Road to. How do you think it's going to work with Starks and MJF? And, of course, the English elephant in the room, William Regal, and the Moxley stuff too.
The Regal element of it is more interesting now as a result of what we know or don't know about Regal's status within AEW. And that is stuff AEW can play with because MJF, more than any other character, is one that they've used. People's knowledge of other stuff happening. MJF, the promo where he barged in at the press conference, he was laughing in Tony Khan's face, directly referencing, you know, the rah-rah speech he did after Dynamite went off the air that got shared.
Yeah, yeah.
He was acknowledging that was a total work, and that wasn't even something that appeared on camera. So they're using everything that people already know. It's how they folded in the voicemail when Tony Khan hired him back. Yeah, everything about this latest chapter of MJF has been a little bit meta, and is like... played with the worksheet, but played with it quite nicely. Hasn't really abused it. So I fully expect that to be the case with Regal here. I would want, if Regal's not on Dynamite, which I don't think he should be, because it does show a little bit of disrespect to John Moxley if he just walks straight out, even if he's got MJF with him, in front of him. I don't know. Unless you're running an angle where Regal was warned and then we cut backstage and he's been bludgeoned on top of a car or something. You see him completely laid out. And
a red car? Eh?
Eh?
Law?
Like, that you could do. So he walks out with MJF, and then that's... You've seen him on television, and John Moxley's seen him on television.
He wasn't my car!
Comedy's on the timing.
Like, that would be a way, I think, to write Regal out. But I quite like the idea of Regal being nowhere near Dynamite now, because he has followed Moxley's instructions. But MJF alluding to the fact of, Regal's gone where I need him to be. Like, up north!
I love that idea. One more thing before I move on, anyway, from... the preview of this, which again, I hate previewing. Cornette, old news. I think the days of Cornette trolling AEW fans, they've already fictionalized it via Dan Lambert. Does anyone really care what Cornette says about AEW these days? They did early on, but I don't think that fan base is that bothered about the bad faith criticisms anymore. Therefore, we've already seen MJF mirror certain phrases and actions of CM Punk. Does he go further with that tonight? Because what's the biggest heel to the AEW fan base? Does MJF need to sort of embody or play with in some way? Sports entertainment as a concept, being done. Jim Cornette, don't know if people care about it that much, if I'm being honest, if MJF might be.
You've decided which side of the fence you're on with that one a long time ago.
I think so. We'll see. MJF might do it and pull it off. If he starts to really get fans in on the idea of I'm the real devil and I'm going to sort of mimic certain CM Punk behaviors and phrases, and basically all he needs to do is do some CM Punk stuff.
Yeah. It's... I'm glad you said that, Sitch, because I was wanting to ask you, like, what at this point, like, what do the AEW Freakazoids boo? Like, that's what I want to know. It's a company. MJF is being cheered because he's beloved by AEW. Punk completely misjudged what people would boo or cheer in AEW when he, like, caused that kickoff at the scrum. MJF is not, but MJF is doing stuff that's getting people cheered. Wilborn's got the answer, hand raised. What is the thing that AEW audience as a whole will just despise? Because I don't know what that is anymore.
Well, I love you too, and you're far more knowledgeable than I am, but for once, you're close, you're just not right, because I've got the perfect heel to the AEW fans, and that is, of course, Papa H. He comes out and does a 20-minute promo to open the show. Over his shoulder.
You see?
What do you guys want to talk about? Huh? Do you think he opens the show?
Yes, certainly.
He's grown a 2004, for Movember, a 2004 Triple H Lemmy moustache. Like, in the 2 weeks that he's been off.
Dax Harwood, there was WrestleMania 10 hard on. Might want to open it.
Yeah.
What do you think main events this show? Elite?
Yeah. Potentially. Yeah, potentially.
Hadn't thought
Dax Harwood's a great opening wrestler. I'm just doing a bit.
It would almost be nailed on to be Danielson Harwood if they still had that rule. That I can't remember when they got rid of it. It was really disappointing when you suddenly were like, oh, I'd break in the opener. I loved it when they just would be like, 20 minutes opening, wrestling, boom.
Someone pointed out to me that it corresponds with, without potentially being the result of, NXT moving to Tuesday night, which makes it funnier because NXT was like, hey guys, October 2, 2019, we got Adam Cole, Matt Riddle, no commercial interruption. Watch us. We know what we're doing. And then AEW's actual blanket rule for all of its openers for like a year and a half. We're not going to have any commercials ever, actually. And it was a fun bloodbath, baby.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's talk about the rest of this show, though, Sidge. Also in the road, too, you had Death Triangle saying, oh, you're the cleaner. Huh? Well, we're going to be making a sweep here. They think they're going to go 4-0 basically in this best of seven. Obviously, currently right now 2-0 are Death Triangle. Can tonight be the night that the Elite finally get on the board? It's one of those, isn't it? You either think, because I think generally, spoiler, the three of us think that they are going to pull it back and maybe win it 4-3. In the long run. Well, actually, no.
Oh, it's going to be, honestly.
Is there a pasty bet on this?
There is. It's going to be the great. It's going to be either me coming into work if, like, Death Triangle get it. Colin Moore closing in! Oh, I've got to buy Cedric a pasty. It only goes, in terms of 4-3s, it only goes
one way. Isn't it a coffee, actually?
Oh, I'll reference one of your heartbreaking relegations, but there's just too many to pick from.
Oh, God.
You started it!
It's distasteful. I was just talking about what most people acknowledge to be the greatest.
Come on, that's too
far. I was just talking
about
the greatest Premier League game ever. Is that not agreed upon?
You lost.
I forget. I just remember Liverpool won.
Shut up, man. You're complete and utter. God, Jesus. I don't want to
make it about these petty.
They're obsessed.
Gripes and grievances.
Magnums are obsessed.
But yes, I think the general consensus is, well, certainly you and I, Sid, think they're going to win it 4-3. So it's whether tonight Death Triangle go 3-0 up, or you go, okay, 2-1, and then at least it's slightly less predictable for the sort of the next few weeks.
I've got no doubts or doubts or worries that they can't extract drama out the ass across virtually every single minute of the series. If I'm booking it, I go 2-1. Otherwise, you've got three consecutive matches where you know the finish. I will pull back to 2-1. Not only does it make it less predictable, going forward, because again, you can do 2-1, 2-2, or whatever, or 3-1, 3-2. You give yourself more drama if they go 2-1 behind.
Yeah.
Or, if they're intelligent enough to work it, and they are, you get a different strain of drama that's harder to achieve, but more magic if it actually comes off. If you go 3-0 down, 1-3-2-3-3-3-4-3. Look, there's loads that can play with. I'd personally have them go 2-1 down, not only because it creates a less predictable path as to how to get to the seventh match, which, as we've all said and everyone knows, is inevitable, but also the Elite losing three times, albeit via cheating, is the kind of thing that the Elite do because they think long-term. That doesn't necessarily work in a really, really impatient instant gratification world. And I prefer it that they go this way, that they get over to the level they are completely on their own terms. But they have been widely criticized for not being broad and populist in the way that they present their characters. Who the hell God knows? All I know, it's going to be fantastic. If I'm booking it, it's 2-1.
Yeah.
I don't want them to lose three times in a row. And I'm at this point really interested in how they subvert the established sequences and advantages that the Death Triangle have shown over them. Kenny Omega has taken two revolting, but brilliant, German suplexes to the back of the head. I'm at this point going to be a bit more exacting in my critiques. I love the first two matches for completely different reasons. I should have all the faith in the world. At this point, I want some of the sequences that I've seen happen in both matches become subverted because I want the losing team to have learned something. Kenny Omega needs to clutch those ropes for dear life when Pac goes for that, I guess you would call like a whiplash German suplex or something, because he knows I've been brained on my head twice now. I need to avoid doing that because it's given them the advantage to get into a cheating position and my head hurts. You know, I'm expecting a real amount of detail. We had the establishing match. We had the absolutely wonderful banter match. This is time for the details and the continuity and the sort of the strategies and the counters to really start to make their appearance.
If I'm booking it, this whole show, yeah, I'd have MJF open. I'd have Dax Danielson, top of the second hour, or, you know, even when they start the match and it's bleeding into the second hour, so if anyone's flicking around. But yeah, Bryan Danielson, Dax, oh, that'll be good. And then this main event, potentially with a win for, I think Elite are going to win tonight, for example, particularly because there's obviously this crack developing between the rest of Death Triangle. I think Alex Abrantes included. He's like, yeah, I'm absolutely fine with us cheating and winning. And Rey Fénix, who obviously was a bit last week, was like, all right, we did it once, but let's not make a habit of this sort of thing. Do you see how do you see it going, Hamlet? And also, alluding to what Sidge talked about there, How do you think they're going to be received? Very different crowd to Chicago, this.
Yeah, Indianapolis should just play as you would expect, not like the pay-per-view did, I guess. Like the Elite to be bigger baby faces than Death Triangle. Death Triangle haven't turned, but the Elite is bigger stars and they're more beloved. So like the Elite will be the baby faces. I think 2-1 as well. It is broad and it is populous, but I think they've been burned by that before. If you look back to Kenny Omega's 2019, like they weren't necessarily that rewarded for it in the short term. So I think 2-1's the way to go. Somewhere in this series, I'm not sure that it's tonight, but I was thinking about it with Phoenix as the current, like Penta's quite in at the Hammer stuff as well, isn't he?
Loves it, aye.
Phoenix is the lone baby face. I want a flash win. I want a flash V-trigger win. Bell rings, bang, Kenny Omega kills Phoenix dead with a V-trigger. 1, 2, 3. And that's what convinced...
That market would hate it.
And this is a problem. This is a problem, right? There is a, well, anyone that attended an AEW Dynamite in the summer, like that was excited to see the Elite and didn't get them as a result of Brawl Out, or Punk for that matter.
Never mind that. What about wherever they are next week? Because obviously, fourth match of winter is coming. December 7th, Dynamite. Go f*** yourself. No best of seven.
But, right?
You just do Omega Phoenix in the singles instead.
We're going to do it.
Oh, my God.
The magic of a flash win when the consequences are lesser is not so terrible. Like, Punk Moxley was all wrong for me was because it was for the belt. But Brock and Goldberg was a riot and it actually set more up down the road. I think it can be done right and just be a ton of fun. I get what you're saying though. It's a potential town killer. But I think the moment would be huge and you can bask in the shock of it a little bit and Death Triangle complete. That would be a nice one actually for 2-2. Like they've equalized and now the advantages with them because they've just flattened you in seconds and they're going to now go 3-2 ahead. You know what I mean? So that might be coming. Maybe not this week, though. I would like to see the Elite just as the... This should be the wrestler's wrestler trios match where they're both ostensibly baby faces. Pac wants the Hammer. Penta wants the Hammer. But they try really hard to have this super competitive wrestling match first. They've both wrestled each other enough now to know all the secrets, all the tricks, loads of holds, counter holds, all that kind of stuff. The Young Bucks and Kenny dial back the obnoxiousness because they don't need to do the Punk stuff this week. And the Elite get her done because on the night they're the better wrestlers. As much honour as possible in this one.
Two more things very, very quickly because I'm aware that we are running short of time. One, I really hope the storytelling isn't just confined to the Hammer stuff and that they build on the sequences they've done. Two, a prediction on the reaction that they're going to get, I think, for at least the next year of their career, maybe 6 months. They are going to get FCM Punk chants everywhere except Chicago. And they're going to be drowned out by This Is Awesome within the first 5 or 7 minutes. And that's going to be the pattern.
I can never pronounce it. Escalera de Muerte?
Escalera de la Muerte.
That you've called for the decider. Ooh. What if it's a Hammer? They've got a grab from the top of the ladder.
They've got belts to win.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's better then. That's fine. I'd forgot about the belts. Legitimately, I'd forgotten about the belts.
A couple of predictions from me regarding this. I agree 2-1. I think there may be a little gimmick tonight where the referee goes... Right, ring the bell and then take the hammer. I don't know, somewhere else, and we'll just someone will say ding 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 if you get the win, or they get rid of maybe they like search.
imagine him doing it, ding ding ding.
Or maybe they
special guest ring keeper Adam Wilborn.
Maybe they have like security protecting the hammer, let's say, around ringside, and they check the competitors. And bloody hell, Pac's got one in his shoe or something. But they're still going to be Hammer Sturf because I think Abrahantes are going to be like, they didn't check me. And then they're going to have the bit of like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this with Rey Fénix. And that probably costs Death Triangle the match. Also, you say dial back on the obnoxiousness from the Young Bucks in particular.
That didn't.
I'm not saying this is obnoxious. I'm saying they are the Young Bucks. So I think my prediction tonight, along with a win for the Elite, is one of the Young Bucks is going to end up wearing Pac's mask going, oh, my bloody nose.
Yeah.
I could see him doing
actually,
that.
That works.
Who is it? Was it Matt with the hammer last week who was like...
Yeah.
Brian Danielson, Dax Harwood. Not a bad little surprise on Rampage, that was it, to announce this for Dynamite.
Oh, it's the sound of my tits coming off. You know what's brilliant about this, right? And I'm expecting them to play with it. In this match between the true spiritual descendant of Bret Hart and Dax Harwood.
Hey!
He got him again! I was going to say, who trained Bryan Danielson? More accurate question, right? who is credited with training Bryan Danielson because it makes for a better narrative.
All HBK.
So they're going to not reveal that information. And then when Danielson does some kind of...
Tunes up the band,
yeah. Or does the pose.
Yeah.
Or, can you imagine Danielson going, suck it! And then that's when Excalibur will drop it in.
Yeah.
To be honest, I did think Sean did more training than the cynical narrative suggests. So he'll definitely do some Sean stuff. Guaranteed. It'll be absolutely fantastic.
Sean Shooter?
We'll see it.
Dax screens. Come on, boy toy. Get back in here.
Come on, boy toy.
Is he wearing any pink stuff, do you reckon, tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely one of them. Definitely one of them weeks.
Well, one of those every week. We get it. I like them too.
What of FTR in a singles match?
We've all got network subscriptions, Dax.
How do you see a member of FTR in a singles match going?
What? Fine. Dax is good.
And
they always lose. They always lose.
Yeah, they do always lose.
They're going to lose in 12 minutes and it's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting some real, like, you know how the Revival's WWE song literally went, see, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I am I'm going to be making that noise a lot during this match when I see some really tough-nosed, rugged pro wrestling.
What's the angle? Like, what's happening? Bryan and Moxley have got this thing now where Moxley's going to be fizzing that Bryan convinced him not to deck Regal.
It's a fixture which I love. The idea is that after a uneven 2022 where Danielson has lost far too many big matches, I suspect that they are going to do Danielson MJF at Revolution because yes. It spins off from the BCC stir.
Brand spanking new.
And this is going to be your, between now and January 4th, because it's in Seattle, I think we're getting the Tony Khan, like, signature sprint run where he goes, in the next 4 or 5 weeks, I'm just going to make you the best wrestler in the world again and the most acclaimed. Yeah. The most acclaimed wrestler. Like, he did it with Moxie in the summer. He's going to do this with Danielson to heat him up. So you're going to get Danielson dream matches out the ass. I can't promise you that, but that's where I think it's going.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Yeah, I don't.
So it's that masquerading as a sporting fixture that Harvard himself. 2022 has been the best year of my career. I know, I'm happy for you. It shouldn't be. He's on Twitter, man. I should unfollow him and enjoy the absolutely incredible wrestling character he portrays on television.
We would be divided by this, by the way, but I'd be a bit pissy too if I was the hottest act in all of wrestling, then suddenly I wasn't.
Well, the acclaimed are hotter. That's why Tony Khan went with him. What I will say with... Well, did you see what Dax Howard tweeted before Full Gear?
No.
Right. Think of her streaming this match tonight, guys. And it was the anniversary of one of the matches with DIY, I think.
Right.
It's like, you know what tonight is. Why didn't you stream it last night, Dax?
Well, on the night of Full Gear?
Yeah.
What an asshole.
It's like, why didn't you stream it last night, Dax, even though it's not technically the anniversary? And then people were like, it's Full Gear, mate. It's like, after midnight, guys? Then it wouldn't be the fucking anniversary, would it, Dax? I love him as a wrestler so much. Some wrestlers just need to get off Twitter. I should probably stop unfollowing them.
Win for Danielson.
Yeah.
What's next with the House of Black? A hell of a return for them last week, of course.
I don't care, man. Like, just get the trios belts on the Elite and then get to that match. Like, I don't mean to be flippant. I do not give a toss. Like, the House of Black were fantastic last week, but I think the trios division is on its ass. Like,
No, it isn't.
I don't care. Like,
oh, sorry, I don't care. You meant to be, you know, reflecting the voice of the listeners. Everyone went nuts for that.
God, yeah, all right, fine. They can beat up the factory there. Who was it else they could beat up?
Best friends,
or losers. I feel like Bret Hart going through the Patriots.
They should do more with Orange Cassidy, so you can't be that much of a loser if you want him to do something with us. Get your head on straight and be consistent, brother.
He's the one good guy out of Best Friends. The rest of them have always sucked. I've been saying that for goddamn years. Hate the goddamn Best Friends. They're my best friends, they're my worst f***ing enemies, right? So they'll squash the Best Friends, don't care. Squash Factory, don't care. Boring bitch stuff. Like, we know we're heading to House of Black versus the Elite, and that's going to absolutely rule. It's going to be an early contender for one of the best matches of the year. But it's just a lot of sitting through slow entrances, dark music, and sludge rock that Andy Murray likes between
now
and then.
It's the Judgment Day!
It's not because of Judgment Day, a patter. Like, Malakai Black's never been pattering its f***ing life. Like, I'm 3 points in now, aren't I? Yeah. Like, Brody King rules, yeah. He can have singles matches out the ass all day. He can beat Darby Allin whenever he likes. But
it's weird.
It's fine. It's like,
he needs to get a haircut. Don't say whinge on.
No, about
we'll have an actual falling out. He's got his haircut coming up soon. All I'm going to say is, when Dynamite was Gonzo Creative Tony Khan,
yeah,
And he went, oh, it's not my kind of thing. I can see why Sidgwick liked it. It's not my kind of thing. I like really regimented booking because for reasons. Even if this is regimented booking.
Triple H has his patterns and so does Tony Khan, is the point I'm making. Like, I know exactly
Tony Khan is doing a Triple H pattern and he can't praise him for it.
I know exactly where House of Black are and I just don't feel the need to care about it. Nothing will happen in the weekly TV show.
Dominic Mysterio?
Yeah, because he's really funny.
He is the best heel in wrestling right now, to be fair. Yeah.
I just feel like nothing the House of Black do matters between now and Revolution.
I'm sort of torn on this because I could not care less about the House of Black, apart from, I will say, caveat your thing, Brody King with, what was it, Dust or whatever.
Ashes.
That, I like that. And I obviously love Brody King killing people, naturally, at the top of the ramp like we got last week. I couldn't give a toss
Can't
about...
Can't wait for the Raw review next week.
Yeah, but I couldn't...
Cannot wait.
I couldn't give a toss about, being reborn and all that. But if I just get to... to be
it's
honest...
It's a metaphor.
I am looking forward to watching them kill the Factory or whoever it may be, because House of Black in the ring, I'm always there for.
Brody King in a squash match, boring. So my gag.
Is anything announced tonight?
Nothing announced tonight. I just thought they were one of the biggest things of last week, and you sense that that's going to be followed up tonight, and it'd be appropriate for them.
Watch them do the spookiest, lamest video you've ever seen. So Hamlet can come in and swing his dick.
I think, yeah, but I think it's appropriate that on the show like, that we're booking.
Figuratively, of course.
There's no spookiness anymore. Not after the way they came back last week. I think the burning body bags was the last of the spooky stuff.
I just would like, on the night that the Elite get their first win in the trios, it's a nice sort of mirroring, and like you say, it's probably going to be what? Revolution?
Yeah.
Elite versus House of Black, so... Yeah, Elite get their first win in the best of seven series. House of Black get their first trios win since they came back. I thought it was a nice night. It's a nice little talk. Maybe, yeah, maybe.
3:05, you know, you got your haircut coming up.
That's all right.
You got a bit of time?
I got time, baby. Always got time for this.
You got swears to bleep out before you leave. Let's go. Quick.
Let's move on next to the women's match advertised for tonight. Just the one. Willow Nightingale versus Anna J.A.S.
I'm really looking forward to it. Because I thought Willow Nightingale was, again, very, very good in that three-way tag match last week. And if you know how the booking patterns work, the beloved regimented booking patterns, Willow Nightingale is a face. She is probably going to win this match. The champion is a heel. And Nightingale and Hayter had a cracking little match on Rampage not too long ago. If I'm Tony Khan, I'm running that back. The route to it is quite boring, but the people involved I adore, so I'm happy with this without doing cartwheels around the podcast studio.
She's lost two TV title matches to Jade already as well, so she's kind of good in that position, and what Mercedes Martinez as well for the Ring of Honor title, so she's kind of proven quite effective at being that challenger that can lose and doesn't
it's
lose
almost
any.
The babyface Nyla Rose.
Yeah, doesn't lose any of her momentum. The match is great. Has Winter Is Coming got anybody really obvious lined up at the moment for Jamie Hayter? I don't think so. So it certainly feels like that's...
Running back with Tony Storm, I suppose, if you want, but...
She's like obviously showed a bit of remorse last week. I think that's bang right. I think Willow Nightingale wins. But it's hard, yeah, it is hard to sort of imagine that there's any... additional peripheries or stories attached
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, no, it's a bit obligatory, isn't it? Mm.
Speaking of obligatory.
It's time to play the game!
Cut her off.
One's more than enough. What is the name of that game, Michael Sidgwick?
Well, the purpose of the game, which we must reinforce every single time, even though we're running out of time, is because AEW takes a very obligatory, apathetic, terrible approach to parody, we attempt to satirize how much of an afterthought it continues to be 4 years in, where we try and guess the hour, minute, second of the first time you hear the first beat of the first women wrestler coming out for the only women's wrestling match on the night so that we can nail how obligatory and just has to exist because everyone loves a bloody whinge, they don't. And the name of the game, of course, is, well, this is Ladies' Nine, I'm thinking, no, what a real... Ladies' Night. You know what I mean?
Winner of last week was, of course, Mike.
That means I'm on Twitter, goddammit.
I have it. Six seconds off last week, Hamper. taking your score now to 5 correct answers. Michael Sidgwick, 6. Me, 8. Shout out, as always, to Adam Blair, a.k.a. at Adam Wilton 4 on Twitter, who keeps control of all the Oh, bloody hell, Sage.
Data!
Thank you. All the data for all this. Hamlet, you got it right last week. First hour, second hour, how are you feeling about this?
It's been the very second hour, brother. What was the time last week, Sage? You've got last week's figures in front of you.
The correct time was 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 16 seconds.
And you were
seconds.
Six off.
I'm going to go with 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 16 seconds.
Wow.
Tony Khan, if he is indeed finding his feet again with the way he likes to plan and book, this feels very much like last week's episode in terms of things I've got to get to.
I've got 1:20:20. I'm going to rush now.
Well, I was going to go later. I thought it was going to be quite a brief match, this Willow Nightingale versus JAS. And then, as I said, if I'm booking it, I'm booking Elite versus Death Triangle. And maybe they just go a little bit shorter because... You know, there's a lot on this
thing.
There's a lot on this show. But granted, yeah.
I know.
I was going to go one. Go on.
No, I was going to say, I know Subject's in a rush, but like, I've kind of become accustomed now to figuring out how he comes about that answer.
Well, how I came about
that
answer.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, like, I need the logic for that.
So, you got second hour. So, first hour, though.
The first hour, I'm trying to find out what's going to pack the first hour to prolong the match. So basically, I'm trying to get in the headspace of what the experience of watching Dynamite is like.
Imagine if we actually got to watch it live at a reasonable time.
Boom, let's go ignite. I'm a fat guy, gonna flash up. Boom, let's go ignite. Light the fuse. Bring the boom. Dynamite. Win or not. You know what that means? It's WWE Dynamite. And then you get a...
Fearing it was Julian Banjo.
Dax Howard versus...
Max the Magic Minutes.
It's Brian Danielson. They'll go about, ooh, 18 minutes, actually. I think this is going to be like Danielson is the best. He's going to be working 18 minute, 4.5-star matches until Revolution. Revolution. 1 hour, 2020.
Thanks.
I was going to go 1 hour, 21, 22, just because I thought it was going to go later. But then again, I don't know if they're going to do the usual.
So, I haven't written yours down. What is it?
1:21:22.
Jesus Christ.
Because
that's
I was thinking, but now I'm questioning myself, because if they do the whole, right, time for the women's section, and they do what we're just about to talk about with the Cargill celebration immediately afterwards, as they often do.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'll stick to what I was going to say. I don't think they're going to put this. They might put Jay Cargill in the first hour, to be honest. But I think it's going to be quite brief. And then main event, Elite versus Death Triangle, which will get the final half an hour or whatever it is of this show. But yeah, Willow Nightingale to win. Finally, Sid, yeah, Jay Cargill's championship celebration. What could possibly go wrong?
Then Bow Wow will come in.
Yeah, probably.
She fired Thingy last week, didn't she?
Yes. Your services are no longer required.
Aye.
I thought something wild like Soraya comes out and is like, right, clearly fine.
That, I don't think, is the worst idea. Soraya and Jade Cargill is a risk of a match to present for both of them. But where does Soraya go from here? She like wants to get back in the mix of it, but it's very easy to become normalised in that division. It doesn't feel like they're going to hit the Sidgwick dream match of Serena Deeb anytime soon.
Nope.
It kind of stands to reason that she would at least call her out or want a challenge for a title. She's beaten Britt Baker. He's a contender. So,
yeah, so I'm just pairing people off. I'm like, okay, Jamie Hayter, Tony Storm could do another title match or it's a, run it back.
It's an all-star looking thing, if nothing else. So that could be where the interruption, you do feel like it's an interruption, it probably is Bow Wow. Make it a little bit clearer if Jade Cargill's the face of the heel in this Bow Wow feud, because that wasn't obvious last week. I would assume Bow Wow would be the heel, and then she's like, oh, and you're fired because you suck. So that, I don't know. I don't really know where they're at with Jade at the moment.
Get Mark Sterling away from her.
Oh, no chance of that. The first thing they planned for this episode of Dynamite is Mark Sterling's involvement in the Jade Cargill celebration ahead of the Elite Death Triangle match.
So, yeah, an interruption is one of these things you can sort of see coming, a bit like contract signings in WWE. Oh, if someone's going to have a big celebration, it's not going to be all sunshine and rainbows by the end
of
it.
It's pro wrestling, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get the...
Think about Wow. I should have thought of him, yeah.
You'll get the reveal and tell all of how they put the segment together on the next episode of Chris Jericho's podcast, where he reveals he was a consultant for this angle. That feels...
Yes.
Nailed on.
But this, obviously, that doesn't count towards Ladies Night, because that's not a match, it's just a segment. Mm-hmm. But if you want to keep tabs on all the, not the statistics, all the...
data.
Thank you. Adam Blair will take care of it. At Adam Wilton for, very close in the Ladies Night standings. Intrigued to see how that plays out tonight. And very intriguing as well that none of us have decided Maybe they'll put a women's match in the first hour.
Christ, no.
Anyway, let us know your thoughts ahead of AEW Dynamite tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Of course, tomorrow is the 1st of December. We're on the road to Christmas. And if you're thinking, I just can't think of a present to get someone else or even get yourself.
I've got an idea.
What? Go on.
If you hop onto Amazon right now.
Yeah, okay. I will do.
And you are interested in reading all about the formation and indeed rise of All Elite Wrestling, hop on over and buy my book, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW. 120,000 passionate and insightful words about those two things. go to Amazon.
Very quickly. If I type in Becoming A on Amazon, what comes up?
For making me late to pick up my children?
No, it's actually...
You're on about Wilborn's previous orders.
If you put Becoming Al in, then you get Michael Sidgwick. But if you pick up Becoming A in, it says Becoming a Student Midwife, Becoming a Dad Book, but top of the searches, Becoming a Supple Leopard. So make sure you top in Becoming All, and then you can find the Becoming All, The Rise of AW, Michael Sidgwick's brilliant book, all about AW, which you can get. Hang on, let me check.
Get it by Saturday, December 3rd.
Yeah, that's before Christmas. You can get it there on Amazon. Yeah.
We are on the road to Christmas, as they always say.
Or whichever holiday you celebrate.
Exactly. Yeah. Adam Wilborn for me, at WhatCultureWWE for all of us, WhatCultureWrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, the Dudley Boys that reviewed NXT, and we'll, of course, all be back to review Dynamite tomorrow. But for now, this has been the Dynamite Preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.